Welcome back to the Vandal Scoreboard. Zach Kellogg here with Chris Dermer. We're not live this week, although that was a whole lot of fun. You could tell we were very nervous in terms of mostly my end, and you sounded like a monster in terms of how high.
That's what I heard. I heard that.
I'm going to try and do my best impersonation of it real quick.
You're kind of talking like this.
Wow.
And
the whole podcast?
No, just until we had the station manager or one of the helper DJs, Rem, come in and turn the levels down or show us kind of what we need to do in terms of working with the levels.
That's a big yikes.
But outside of that, you know, you did sound like a horrifying monster, but then you kind of came back and sounded like a normal human being. So things went well, you know, rocky start, but I'm excited to keep doing that when we have the opportunity to, you know. Because live shows, there's just a different kind of feel to it.
Definitely. We just got a retweet from Idaho Basketball for our full court press piece.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to plug that quick at the start. So,
yes.
For those of you that don't know, we help with Inside the Vandals, a weekly sports show with Idaho Athletics, you know, talking to coaches, players, making feature packages. And if you know who Jay Billis is, he's a really well-known sports broadcaster who has this segment, 94 feet, where he walks the full length of a basketball court with the player and does a quick casual interview. And Chris has put his own spin on that with Full Court Press. You can find that at Vandal Insider or Inside the Vandals on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Definitely.
Where he interviewed Damon Thacker, and that'll kind of be our jumping off point now. Men's basketball playing Northern Arizona tonight.
That's a good segue.
Cowan
I like that.
Yeah, I know.
That's
in
really
Cowan
good.
Spectrum. The Lumberjacks have been a little shaky lately. They still have a really tough stretch here in the last six games of the season.
Yep.
And Idaho has shown sparks of being able to hang with the tough teams, especially with that win over Eastern Washington not too long ago.
Definitely.
Chris, kind of coming into this game, you know, Northern Arizona, a very solid team when shooting the ball. Also, Isabel Haddon on Inside the Vandals. She has points in the paint where she details the matchup this week for men's basketball.
Yes.
And she said that, you know, Northern Arizona, they can really shoot the lights out if you give them opportunity, much like Eastern Washington. Kind of what is this Vandal defense going to have to do to maybe try and run them off or really try and make it uncomfortable early so the Lumberjacks don't just frankly get rolling and get hot just and go up by 15 in the first half?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, like Zach Claus, head coach of the men's team, was saying, you know, they have to stop shooting from the perimeter and they have to stop the bounce. Stopping these Northern Arizona guards is going to be a huge factor in this one. You know, last time they played, Idaho did a really great job at limiting their three-point shooting. Northern Arizona is number one in the Big Sky in three-point field goal percentage.
Yeah.
So these guys can't shoot. Unfortunately, they lost by five last time around. A lot of that had to do with Cameron Shelton from Northern Arizona going off for 29 points. You know, four Northern Arizona players in general were in double figures. So despite them stopping the perimeter shooting, this Northern Arizona team, they still know. They know how to score. These Lumberjacks can score. They can score a lot in a hurry. But, you know, just a few weeks ago, you know, they played Eastern Washington, and the Vandals did a really great job at holding down Eastern Washington, which
is
also a really great scoring team. So really, I don't know what to expect from the Vandals right now. They're playing good, but they're also playing very, very inconsistent now.
I was going to say that.
So it's very, who knows what you're going to get. It's reminded me a lot of Vandal football this past year, which you have no idea. They can play stellar or they're not going to really show up that much. So,
and that's kind of the thing. It's not that just Northern Arizona, like Eastern Washington just puts up a lot of threes, and that's just how they kind of, you know, they live and die by that.
Yeah.
Northern Arizona is just so efficient with how they shoot the basketball.
Definitely.
That, you know, if you give them an open look, which the Vandals have struggled with this season, but now with Damon Thacker moving into the starting lineup and kind of being that go-to defender, pretty much with Coach Call saying Damon's going to be covering the best guy on the opposing team, along giving Trayvon a little bit of a break on the defensive end. The one thing I see having trouble with this team is that they move away from what's working too quickly. So if they go down in a hole, despite the team, you know, getting things working, like that game against Eastern, Damon hit three quick threes, and he didn't even really play for the remainder of the game and for the remainder of the first half, really, and never really got consistent playing time after that. And they just kind of went, okay, Trayvon, you're going to kind of do your thing now. Yeah, they won that game, but it was tight down the stretch. And I think Coach Claus just needs to just kind of stick with what's working. Whoever has the hot hand, keep them in and just let that roll until they need a break, and then you take them out. Because yeah, Trayvon's going to get you 25 if you just let him do his thing. But I think you need that 5, 7, 10 points from the surrounding cast. And also the post presence for this Vandal team, despite having a super strong start and all those one score losses, Jack Wilson, Scott Blakeney have kind of disappeared in the middle.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's interesting too, because just a few games ago they played Sacramento State, and that game was a very, you know, had to be a physical game with Sacramento State, you know, leading the Big Sky in rebounding and all this stuff. And they were able to go there and pull off the win with the physicality. So I think that's going to be big for these next two games with Northern Arizona and Sacramento State now coming here to Cowan. Or, no, wait, is it Cowan still? Is it playing Cowan this week? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. In Cowan this week, and then women are in Memorial Gym next week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so coming to Cowan this week, you know, these bigs are going to have to step up. Jack Wilson and Scott Blakeney. I don't know what's going on, per se. I don't know. I don't think it's really been foul trouble from what I've been keeping an eye on for.
I'm not quite sure because, like, we looked this up yesterday and we were just kind of curious. Jack Wilson has 3 rebounds in the last 4 games combined. He had none against Montana, none against Montana State, and then, like, 1 and 2 in these last 2 games. When you're 7 feet tall and you're the biggest guy on our team, I say Jack's got to be having, down the stretch, he's got to be averaging 5 to 7 rebounds at least down this stretch. The Vandals want to try and make some kind of momentum, build up to the Big Sky, maybe do what Southern and Utah did, you know, to the senior 6 a few years ago and upset a high-ranked team. And, you know, also, you know, a shameless plug here, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Go ahead.
On the Vandal Nation, I had we're bringing back weekly power rankings. So this week I looked at men's basketball. Armin Misinovich, the sports editor at the Argonaut Now, the student media paper at the University of Idaho. He did Big Sky women's basketball. But this week for the men, I had Idaho ranked as 10th on the power rankings.
Really?
Simply because, you know, 3 wins, they got the win against Eastern. It's just, really, when you look at it, it's 6-9 and better from Weber State and up, and then it's 3-11, 3-12. And Idaho State, I feel like now, and I said this in here, when you lose, they've lost 10 straight, you're going to get in the bottom of the rankings. That's just kind of how it is. Idaho State is just kind of, they hang, like, once again, they're okay. They can hang tough. But they're very middle of the pack in everything.
Definitely.
Idaho, good in some things, really bad in other things, and they just can't quite find that winning formula to get wins like, say, a Portland State, who's really good offensively, but lets up a lot of points. But they still get a lot of steals and blocks. It's just trying to find that winning formula, and the Vandals just haven't found that yet here through almost 3/4 of the season now.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, with these next 2 games, especially Northern Arizona happening is this going out today?
Yeah, it's airing on Thursday. You know, we're gonna quickly put it up, and you know, once again, if you don't, we haven't said this bite-sized episode. This one will be like, you know, 20-30 minutes max.
Yeah.
We're gonna get in and out of here just so you guys can get a quick listen, get a quick detail of the game tonight, and then go on with the rest of your day.
I think for tonight's matchup, I think they have to get it to the big men early. I think if you start feeding Scott early, that's gonna open up the game so much more and ease the load a bit for Trayvon. Obviously, Trayvon's going to get his. He's going to get his points. And I think if you start feeding Scott early, feeding him that high post, maybe even get some high-low action going on between the two post presence with, I'm assuming, probably Quentin and Scott.
Yeah.
That could be really interesting. Give it to Quentin in the high post and then have some high-low action working with Scott. Boom. Granted, it's easier said than done.
I was about to say, easier said than done for sure.
But still, you know, that would be beautiful basketball to watch, and that opens up the perimeter because now they have to start focusing on the interior. So,
yeah, I mean, and also Babacar Thiambane, I mean, he is a long, lengthy big. You know, not the biggest guy in terms of bulk, but he is still very shifty, kind of like, you know, just off the top of my head, almost like a JaVale McGee. Not the strongest guy, but he can slip around and kind of, you know, get through and kind of, you know.
Early JaVale McGee?
I'm talking about, like a guy, you know, he's kind of slippery and he can, you know, get in those open lanes. He can also knock down a nice mid-range. But I agree with you that, go, you know, get in those open guys, you know, whether it's on the elbow or, you know, right inside the three-point line, they got to get the big guys involved, force the bigs, force the defense to collapse in the middle and then find either it's Gabe Quinnett, Trayvon, Markell, Damon, someone on the perimeter and get that going.
Definitely.
One thing I also want to make a note of that I'm kind of curious on is, you know, just the late game strategy so far for the men's basketball team. Because in that Eastern Washington game, it was a tight game down the stretch.
Yeah.
And the lineup they had in, I wasn't able to watch that game. But I wasn't quite sure, you know, I have no disrespect against Javari Christmas. I think he's a very solid and athletic player. But he's not one of our better free throw shooters, and I'm not sure why he was in the final, you know, couple minutes of that Eastern Washington game when he's 1-for-10, and I think 1-for-12 now all season in terms of free throws.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe possibly defensive purposes that we didn't
I would say that. Like, he can jump high and he can grab boards, yeah. But it's, you know, down the stretch, you need guys who can knock down free throws. So I would say, you know, Trayvon, Markell, frankly, Gabe Quinnett, because he's been, you know, feeling it a little bit in terms of touch and shooting.
Yep.
Damon Thacker, I don't know if I said him, and it maybe Javari then, but you also want a big, and maybe Babacar as a guy who can help run the floor and, you know, pick up some of his speed.
Quinton as well.
And Quinton Force. So I just think the Vandals just need, in terms of Coach Claus and this team, just need to, you know, I'm not, you know, they're obviously know what they're doing or else they wouldn't be head coaches of a D1 program.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was just kind of confused on why exactly that lineup was in, and it'd be interesting to find out why. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's kind of like, why do you have someone who hasn't been great from the free throw line this season in such a late game situation against a team you could upset? And they, four straight missed free throws, the Vandals could have easily lost that game if they could have easily had just an easy win if they knocked those down.
Yeah, definitely.
But now we'll transition to the women's side. You know, they are starting to roll again a little bit. They lost two straight games for the first time since November.
Yeah.
Now they've won two straight, heading on the road to Flagstaff and Sacramento State.
You know, honestly, what's new with this team getting on a roll? I mean, it's...
I mean...
I'm just so used to it by now. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. I'm loving it.
And, I mean, they lost to Montana State by 6, lost to Montana by 9.
Yeah, that was... But those two Montana games are pretty rough.
I was like, one at home on Thursday, one on the road on Saturday. That's tough to try and do. But now with some time after the Monday game, you know, traveled Wednesday to Phoenix, then to Flagstaff, and they'll play the Lumberjacks. Last time they played, you know, in Cowan, game-deciding three-point shot, you know.
Yeah.
Allison Kirby collapsed down on the defense, wide-open shot from the right wing, and Northern Arizona wins it. Coach Newey made that a point when I talked to him this week that the Vandals, you know, it's like when you go in the huddle and we have a defensive assignment, he said, we have to follow it. Because if we try and improvise, we try and do things that, you know, aren't according to the game plan, then what you think is best, you'll allow these kind of looks. Because, you know, if the I forget who was driving in then. It was number 3, I think. And she had a defender on her. It's like if she makes that tough leaning layup, you know, or something like that, there's nothing you can do. You played good defense. But
definitely,
a wide open three from the wing, that gives them a 1-point lead, and that decides the game.
Yeah, I mean, just – it's unfortunate, really. It's something that you don't really expect from this really disciplined team that Coach Newley always has year in, year out. So, you know, it – stuff like that happens, unfortunately, but you live and you learn. You know, you move on from it. So
I mean,
I think
– it's only their fourth loss of the conference season, it was only one of four losses, so
exactly.
I don't think anyone's too worried
about
it.
I think going on the road tonight, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, they have a reason to pull out a victory tonight, so a lot of motivation to go there and beat the Lumberjacks on their own ground after, you know, the unfortunate ending.
And, I mean, whenever these two teams face off, and we saw that earlier this season, it's usually going to be a high-scoring game, you know, within the high 60s, going into the 70s, heck, maybe even 80s if it really starts getting out of hand. But one thing that I'm kind of curious about is how Gina Markson is going to bounce back after that Portland State game where she did not attempt a three-pointer for the first time in her career. And so with her being the go-to three-point shooter on this team, how much is Coach Newley going to continue to, you know, look for Izzy Haddon, Natalie Klinker, Beyonce B down low, rather than try and use a three ball? I think it's really just, you know, varies matchup to matchup, and that Portland State zone really just kind of gave those opportunities.
Definitely. I mean, the Portland State's, you know, I think their biggest matchup that night was trying to stop and contain Gina Markson.
Yeah.
So they did it for the most part, but, you know, this team is deep, and it's not just one or two players they have to keep an eye out for anymore. So it's a big transition from last year's squad to this year's squad. Everyone's lethal, and the offense is finally starting to pick up that, hey, we can do some three-point shooting, but we also have these bigs that we can get inside, like to Beyonce, like to Izzy Haddon,
yeah,
and the Klinker sisters. Mm-hmm. So,
and, I mean, against Sacramento State, too, you know, the Vandals, although the box score looks nice, 70-44 win, in the early goings of that game, the Vandals were down, I believe, 15-9 at the end of the first quarter because they just couldn't get anything going. And then the bench came in and provided some energy. You know, I believe they scored 39 of those 70 points.
Definitely.
And talking to Coach Neal, he's like, we just got to come out more prepared. We know we can beat this team. We know we can beat this 2-3 zone the Sacramento State Hornets love to play, especially with the inside presence,
yep,
the inside, and especially the mid-range shooting Izzy Haddon's providing and Beyonce B. Really, this team just, they seem to come out ready. Playing at the Nest, you know, in Sacramento can be a challenge because it's, you know, a little gym. It can get loud pretty quickly if, you know, the parents are there and everything like that. But Coach Newley said, especially with the bench he has this season, the energy level they're bringing every game, he feels confident that pretty much everywhere they go, they have that mini home court presence almost, and they can keep that energy alive no matter where they travel to.
Exactly. How many games do they have left on their
schedule?
They
got six.
Six
so
games?
Got two road, two home, two road. So they'll have senior night on February 29th against Southern Utah. This is the women's team. And then they'll go to Weber State and to Idaho State, finish out on the 6th, and then they'll travel over to Boise to start the Big Sky tournament on March 9th.
My bold take, they win all six games going into the tournament.
I like that take. The only thing is, Weber State and Idaho State usually give them trouble very late in the season, especially if they lock up a first-round bye or something like that.
It's going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
It's not – like I am almost inclined to agree with you, but I think they're going to maybe drop one, you know, to UNC, Northern Colorado, that is, or maybe or Idaho State. That's just kind of my gut feeling right now. Real quick, I want to pull up the conference rankings right now for basketball and kind of see, you know, kind of how it's shaping up because I believe Montana State is still number one. Let me just double check real quick and kind of see what's going on here. Because if it's one of those things where late in the season, it really kind of it's up to chance, really.
Yep.
Montana State still 13-1. So if Idaho wins out, they'll be 16-4. Who does Montana State have to close out their season? They got Portland State, Montana, Sac State, NAU, Southern Utah, and Northern Colorado. So a lot of similar opponents outside of Portland State and Montana. It's possible. I mean, they could still be regular season champs. There's still a chance. I mean, once again, they would have to win out, I would say, to give them the best shot, because Sacramento State or Montana State would have to lose three, and then it's just kind of up to tiebreaker, preferably four. And I don't know if I see Montana State losing to more than, you know, Montana or maybe more than Colorado. Maybe it's possible for sure, considering it's the Big Sky and kind of, you know, anyone
you
can beat
know.
Anyone.
Yeah.
But this last six games is going to be interesting to see if Coach Newley can get another Big Sky regular season championship.
Yeah, you know, I just think, I mean, yeah, Big Sky regular season championship would be great, but
I mean, they're worried about the Big Sky championship,
in
the NCAA tournament.
Exactly. You know, the regular season championship, it's always a fun time. It's always, it's great to have, but, you know, it's once you get down to, you know, you get to Boise and you got to win that Big Sky championship there during the tournament.
Yeah.
Because then you get to play in March. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're definitely more worried about that and just kind of going into postseason. That's what I'm thinking. You know, if they at the very least win their senior night game, I think that's a must they have to do, and also win their last two road games.
Yeah.
They go into the Big Sky tournament with a three-game winning streak. They're going to have things clicking and going. But if they lose, I would say one to two of those last three games, it's going to be, you know, kind of, I'm going to be holding my breath a little bit just how much momentum this team carries into Boise.
Definitely.
Because, you know, that's the goal, is to go dancing and go to the tournament, and we'll just have to see if that happens.
Here's an interesting, you know, thing I'm going to say. You know, big what if. Let's say Idaho, let's say they win the Big Sky Championship in Boise.
They're
going to March. Here's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, UConn is not having the greatest season. Granted, they're still playing perfectly fine, but not great as to UConn standards. So there may be a possibility that they may not get a one seed, okay? There may be a slight possibility. So what if Idaho gets, It won't be a 16. It'll probably be like a 15.
I was like,
14,
they'll be a 15. You know? I'm like, if they make it to the tournament, usually Big Sky is a 15 seed in the tournament.
Can you imagine?
We're not
Idaho,
playing UConn.
Idaho versus UConn. And then, you know, just seeing, I just want to see John Newley and Gino Auriemma shaking hands despite any outcome. Like, that's just so cool.
That's what you want to see right there.
Just that screenshot, that picture, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I really hope this happens.
It's, like you said, it's a possibility without a doubt, but I'm not 100% sure it will happen.
How many other bold takes I've made on this show that have actually turned out correct?
Like one?
Yeah, okay. Granted, last week's prediction about Buddy Hield losing in the first round.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm like,
that was a terrible take.
Yeah.
But nope. I mean, I didn't think you'd shoot that great. But
yeah, no one did. But I mean, yeah, it's like you said, it's a possibility. I don't know if it's going to happen, though. We'll just have to wait and see. We still got 6 weeks of the regular season, then like another week of the Big Sky, and then probably another couple weeks until all the tournaments get finalized and games get played.
Definitely.
So we still got a while. So let's talk about that in a few weeks' time. If the Idaho Vandals, you know, knock on wood, if they're able to kind of come out of the Big Sky and win the championship.
Right now.
Oh my
God. I'm looking at bracketology on
Of course you are.
ESPN. And they have, obviously they have Montana State, we get it, but they have going against UCLA, okay? UCLA is a 2-seed, but UConn is right now also a 2-seed.
So it's possible.
There's a possibility.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, and this is the part of the show where we usually take a break, but we're just going to kind of keep rolling right now.
Yeah, let's keep going with
Since it is a bite-sized episode, we won't take a break here in the middle, so if you just want to listen to Vandal Sports, like, you know, like some of our listeners, like our boss, Tara, over here at Student Media, I know she just loves listening to Vandal Sports, but doesn't quite follow the NFL or anything else we talk about. So thanks for listening, Tara. We'll see you later.
Well, she listens.
Yeah, she does listen.
We have a listener.
Yeah, that's a listener for sure.
Hey, thank
so
you, Tara.
Anyone
thank
else
you.
Who doesn't know, Tara Roberts, supervisor here at
yes.
Student Media at the University of Idaho. But now, Chris, once again, Zach Kellogg, Chris Dermer, live here on KUI Moscow, 89.3 FM.
We're live.
Just kidding, no.
I was like, wow, okay.
I got to get good at that station ID because it's like you have to say that in terms
might
of
well
SEC.
Might as well just
practice
it. So
it's like, you know, we're pre-recording this, but might as well, you know, like you said, practice.
You know, from now on, maybe we just don't even tell them we're pre-recording. Maybe we just let them guess.
It's pretty easy to tell because if it were live, we'd be playing ads and promos.
Yeah,
and you'd sound like, you know, a horrifying monster
okay,
with your mic.
That's not my fault, though.
That kind of
is. How is that my fault?
I don't know. It just sounds, it feels
you're,
like it's
your
you fault.
Were the one running the soundboard.
Hey, that's the first time I've run that soundboard, and granted, your mic didn't have one of those puff balls on the top, so maybe that was
maybe
it,
that
too.
Was probably definitely more.
But, you know, we'll just get better next time. But now we're going to talk real quick about the NFL's proposed and possible new playoff
system.
Format.
Yeah.
Seven teams could be going to the NFL playoffs now. There'll be three games in the wild card, and then one team will get a first round bye. So six teams in the wild card. The first overall in both conferences will get a bye, and then not quite sure how that continues to play out.
Yeah, I'm still confused as to how. So they were showing it earlier. I was watching ESPN, and they had it. So this season, they would have had. So, like, a 2-seed was the Packers, right?
Yeah.
And let's say the Rams were the 7-seed. So, the Rams would have made the playoffs. It would have been Packers-Rams that first weekend as well.
Yeah.
So, then, though, so I'm guessing the lowest
I think
seed
lowest seed
win
would, play
would
the...
then play the 1-seed, and then those other two teams would play. So, I guess there isn't any – I guess there's an extra game in a lot of ways, but at the same time, there really isn't. Just the
it's just another team gets
seed.
Added in, so there's just another chance because it makes it so there's just one more chance where you could have, you know, a crazy run. In my opinion, that just
definitely.
Adds a little bit more excitement to the playoffs.
Yeah, so now the 2-seed just has to play.
It makes
the
that first
round bye, which that kind of sucks. But at the same time, I understand now why it's only one team getting the bye because now every team has a chance, like has a reason to keep playing rather than. Hey, let's just bench our guys for, like, the final 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, that makes it, if, like, you get the first overall seed, like, you have a significant advantage because not only do you have a bye, you have a home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
You see, here's the thing. Now, does the 2-seed also still get home field advantage in a lot?
I think it's just
somehow.
Higher seed, I would
seed
think.
Would still get home field
yeah, because
advantage.
They,
okay.
they had, like you said, they haven't been super clear, and I haven't found anything that hasn't explained it super well. But I would assume, you know, going into the divisional round, the higher seed, like even if it's, you know, a 5 against a 6 somehow, yeah. or, you know, something crazy like that, the 5 seed would host, and then the lower seed would just go on the road. So a 7 seed would just be an only road team yeah. if they did make it all the way through. And that would make the most sense to me.
Hey, you know, I'm happy with it because, like, it just seems like the Colts would probably be around that 6-7. So I'm like, that gives us an opportunity to still make the playoffs.
I mean, I'm also a fan of it. I'm just kind of worried about how they'll cram that into one weekend. Because usually it's, you know, 2 days, Saturday, Sunday. Will they go Friday, Saturday, Sunday in order to get 6 games in, you know, 2 games a day?
How about this? Monday Night Football now is doing one.
The only thing I have an issue with that is that you have you would have a significant disadvantage because you would have less than a week. Outside of that, you would have, you know, around a week. But imagine you played Monday and then you played Saturday and yeah. something like that, where Sunday, Saturday is a bit more manageable because just that one extra
now
day.
No, it would be because it's usually is there one wild card game for both division or both conferences? Or is it 2 that's usually for Walker Weekend, right?
There's 2, so there's two for each side.
So now there's just going to be 3 games, 2 days. That's not too bad, then. That's not too bad.
No, yeah, you could have an afternoon one, a night one, and then...
Yeah, a morning, I'm afternoon,
just
night.
Well,
that's
because
not bad.
It's just 6 games in 3 days, so I'm just trying to think maybe 2-2-2, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Maybe.
It's just, I'm also...
I want the 3 games in 2 days. Come on, why not?
So you want 6 games
yeah,
in 2 days?
Look what March Madness
does. So it would be CBS, Fox,
NBC.
And NBC. So those three
CBS would just have to possibly now do a wild card game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do on Sundays, but now they just have to pick up an extra one, which I don't think it's a big of a deal.
Yeah, that could work. You have, you know, NFC, AFC, just pair those up all the way through.
Yeah.
I guess that could work, you know. Saturday, Sunday. I'm just
NBC
more worried about.
NBC probably will take an AFC one and an NFC one, and then Fox takes 2 NFCs.
So you just need
and
an 11:30 kickoff, a 3:30 kickoff, and then
night game,
and then like a 6:30 kickoff.
Yeah,
that could
sounds
work,
fine
actually.
With me. Yeah,
yeah. I just want to make sure you know, like, we were actually thinking of the logistics of this, but
yeah.
3 games in or 6 games in 3 or in 2 days. I think that could work the
it's
way you
great.
Explained.
I'm gonna
it,
love
so.
Wild Card Weekend even more now.
But, yeah, I think that could work. So, just another team gets added in the playoffs, adds another kind of, you know, a chance for some kind of run.
Yeah.
And if it gets implemented next season, once again, that just kind of adds things.
It's looking like
it. It leaves a lot more spots. You know, if you're, you know, if 1-6 is pretty solidified, but that 7th spot, you know, there's 3 teams fighting for it, you're going to get more competitive games down the stretch.
Definitely.
And unless one team is just really tanking and they're like, we're going to lose these ones. We're outy. You know, like the Bengals.
Yeah.
Also, I want to touch on this, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to – I think he's going to pull an Eli Manning.
I don't think he's going to pull an Eli, but I don't
think
he's going to
pull a John Elway.
He's
going to be like, I'm not playing for you. Trade me
I think someone's going to trade up for him. I don't think he's going to go to the Bengals. I really don't want him to go to the Bengals. I mean, part of me does because he's an Ohio kid, so that'd be cool. But at the same time, the Bengals are a terrible franchise.
I was about to say, Colin Cowherd
terrible
said this today. It was like Colin Cowherd – don't know, famous sports talking head and broadcaster, has his radio show on Fox Sports 1. The Bengals, the Redskins, the Browns, and the Lions. The 4 worst-run franchises in the NFL currently.
Yep.
And maybe the Jets. I'd maybe put the Jets up there as
yeah.
well. But, you know, it's just kind of like you go there. It's kind of – you kind of go there, and if unless you really turn around and things start picking up, you're going to waste about 5 to 6 years, possibly even your whole career, with injuries or just unsuccessful seasons.
Definitely.
I guess, you know, is there anything else you really want to talk about? I mean, I want to talk about the All-Star game.
Yeah,
I love the new format.
Yeah, I love it. It was
great. I wasn't sure about it, but it made for some great,
I didn't
great
like dunk contest.
Basketball.
Dunk contest was overrated.
Yeah, you said that.
It was really overrated this season. There weren't really that many amazing dunks. Aaron Gordon got
robbed
hugely. Don't get me wrong. I love Derrick Jones Jr. He had great dunks, but, I mean, you know, a lot of it was a lot of, you know, the same. Granted, I say that, you know, I don't dunk. I can't dunk. I wish I could dunk.
You can't even touch net.
Okay, I can touch net. Thank you very much. Okay. I can touch backboard.
Oh, okay.
I can touch backboard, but I just can't dunk. Okay.
Can you touch rim?
I don't think I can touch rim anymore.
Ooh, I got you there.
don't think I can touch rim anymore. I have to try. I don't think I can touch
get warmed up, break out the old Kobe's, the old sneakers.
I can give the backboard a good slap though.
Okay, yeah.
So you go. You know, finish that layup. You ever have those drills in high school? You have to finish the layup and slap the backboard.
No. My team was bad. We didn't do those kind of things.
Well,
I was our. For those of you that don't know, I am 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
I was our starting center at the highest level of Idaho basketball. Man. So I was guarding guys.
5A?
We were 5A at Nampa High School. So I was guarding guys, you know, down in Boise Meridian that were, you know, 6'6", 6'8", 245 pounds, huge monsters of guys. And I had to try and post them up or, you know, guard them on the block.
Man.
You're talking about having a bad team. Yeah, I wasn't exactly practicing my hops. I was just trying to not die every game or get postered. I didn't get postered once. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a moral victory.
Were they dunking and stuff all the time?
Sometimes. Fast breaks mostly. Yeah. But we only had a couple of times where we actually got dunked on.
We only got dunked on one game by this guard. He like jumped from like a foot inside the free throw line and just
yammed it.
A crazy windmill. Yeah, it was really embarrassing.
What school was it?
Oh, some small school, some like small like Christian Academy school. They were 1A, but they would get like transfers. So
they're one
like,
of those schools.
They're one of those schools that like would just get all the big transfers basically over from bigger schools, and they're like, hey, come play for us. So they had like a lot of really good talent, but they just happened to be 1A.
So they would just roll through.
Yeah,
everyone.
Yeah, great. I mean, we were 3A. But still, like, we didn't expect them to be that good, and yeah, they were pretty good.
So did you hear, we're just kind of going on a tangent right here, but this is kind of popping in my head, and unless anyone out there is really following Idaho sports, we're going to keep this short. 5A and 4A Inland Empire for Northern Idaho are combining into one conference.
Really?
So, like, Moscow, Lakeland, and Sandpoint are joining, you know, Coeur d'Alene, Lake City, and those schools to form one conference with seven teams rather than a four-team and a three-team.
That's interesting.
I think it's going to work out because Lakeland is one of the best teams in the state this season. They were as high as second for a while. Moscow, the team that I cover, they have won eight straight. They just beat Coeur d'Alene on their final home game.
Wow.
In a really tight game. Lake City, you know, was a good team.
Yeah. Sandpoint can be a good team a lot of times, too.
Sandpoint's kind of hit or miss.
They've been hit or miss these past few seasons.
But Lakeland came alive, and they really kind of got the ball rolling. But I think that's a good decision. Anyone who follows high school basketball or high school sports, I think football is where we're going to see a bit more of a divide.
Yeah.
Because Coeur d'Alene and those schools just, you know, it's just different.
Definitely.
And Moscow football is solid. But 4A is kind of where they're at, and, you know, 5A is just when you get to another type of athlete who are just bigger, faster, and just kind of different. But I think next season is going to be really exciting for the high school level, especially up here in Northern Idaho.
We should do, like, a whole high school sports episode.
I'm down with that. I could talk about all the teams up here. I could talk about the entire basketball season for Moscow right now and talk about every single team.
That'd be fun.
I could bring in my scorebook and just be like, all right, this team, this guy, you know, I could just run through that entire team and talk about every single game.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll think about
it. Yeah,
maybe we have a down week and it's like, all right, there's nothing happening. Zach, let's talk about the high school
basketball season. We're going to have a lot of down weeks coming up. So.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Basketball's done, man. There's going to be a lot of – I hate to go outside the box with a lot of things.
Hey, that's our time to be creative, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're not talking baseball. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, then I guess why not? What? Time out.
I hate baseball. I can't stand baseball.
Come on, man. We got to talk about some baseball.
I mean, I'll talk about how the Astros cheated their way to a World Series, but that's it.
Yeah.
Or I'll talk about how, you know, if the Mariners start off well before they inevitably.
Well, they're going to start off well.
So. They were 10-2, best start in franchise history, and then they won like 19 games all year.
Yeah, they'll probably start like 11-0 and then lose like 30 straight or something.
You're not wrong, but I want to still be there to talk about that and then being like, yeah, it's my team, and they're.
You can't say your Mariners are your team when you don't like baseball.
I mean, they can still be my team, but I just don't like the sport. I'm a homer through and through for Seattle teams. And so regardless.
I'm a Real Madrid fan, but I hate watching soccer. I've never watched soccer before, but I'm a Real Madrid fan.
Mm. Yeah, see, exactly.
I'll just say that.
I see no issue with that.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a bite size. We're pushing 40 minutes right now.
Yeah. We're rambling. Let's wrap it up, Zach.
Okay. Bob Custer Awards, you got anything for this? Since you know, was Mike Leach, but since he is at Mississippi State, Bob Custer, former athletic director of Boise State, You want to hear our full explanation? Go look at last week's show.
Yeah.
Anything you want to point out this week?
Yes, I got one. Kay. I got one. Let's take it back to All-Star Weekend.
All right.
You know, the great Chaka Khan did the national anthem.
Yeah.
And I don't know. A lot of people are saying it may be, you know, on the same par of Fergie's national anthem, which I can definitely agree to. I don't know what happened there. It was terrible. I love Chaka Khan, but, man, I had a feeling she was going to be bad at the national anthem, and it was very bad.
Please comment on the All-Star introductions.
That was really awesome. Nice. He made D-Wade cry. That was great. Yeah. Chance the Rapper's halftime performance was awesome.
Yeah. So. I was a really big fan of Chance the Rapper like 3 years ago, and since then, when he released like The Big Day, I believe that was his last album called. It was okay.
I thought it was a great halftime show.
But the halftime show was good. His Kobe tribute was great, too. Yeah, it was a great halftime show. I will say that.
Yeah.
My Bob Custer Award, got to go to Matt McGloin. You know, the XFL's quarterback for the New York branch. I forgot what the team
is. I'm loving the XFL, man.
Do you know what the New York team
is called? New York Guardians.
New York Guardians?
Yep.
Yeah, so they were playing.
Can't believe I know that.
Yeah, New York Guardians. I know it's the Lion. I know the Lion is kind of
Houston
their
Roughnecks, man. I told you they're going to win it all.
Houston Roughnecks and the DC Defenders. Two best quarterbacks in the league in Cardale Jones and B.J. Simmons, right?
Phillip Walker, man.
P.J. Walker, Phillip Walker. Yeah, but, you know, those are the two best quarterbacks in the league, and those are the two best teams in the league. Because right now, the quarterback play has been awful for the other six teams in the league.
And Walker, former Colt.
Former Colt, backed up Andrew Luck for a little bit.
He was third string, was on the practice squad for a lot of times.
But anyway, let me get back to my point here. Matt McGloin, you know, I believe, you know, New York was playing DC at halftime. Going in, you know, they have the reporters for the XFL can interview players pretty much whenever they want. So going into halftime, a reporter asked Matt McGloin, what do you guys got to do, you know, to kind of pick up, to try and find some offensive success? And Matt McGloin said, we got to throw out the whole offensive game plan. Nothing's working right now, and we just got to start over. And he was through a pick six to start off the second half and was promptly benched. And he finished the game, I believe, with 38 passing yards and 4 interceptions.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I understand where he's coming from, you know.
But you can't say
up,
we're going to...
You know, no, just hear me out. You're backing up, you know, as a Raiders quarterback for many years. You know, you finally get your opportunity to play in the playoffs, and you do it, and then you play terribly in the playoffs. So, like, Matt McGloin, he's a really well-respected NFL quarterback. So he, you know, going to the XFL, everything has to be his way. So
yeah, but throwing 4 picks in the XFL...
he's terrible. Yeah. He's terrible. That was all sarcasm. Properly so should have got benched.
No, but I just think it's funny going after a coach, and then the coach is just like, dude, you're not playing anymore.
I just hope it was a humbling experience for him.
I hope so, too. I hope the XFL picks up a little bit, because although it has been exciting and I'm glad football is back, there haven't been any high-scoring games really at all. It's like usually it's like 18 points or under so far. I want to see, you know, a 37-32 game.
Yeah, well.
You know, something like that.
A lot of it has to do with the level of talent there, too, unfortunately.
I think it's honestly just the offenses trying to figure things out with all these new people. And it's easier for defenses to get together rather than offense to click. And I think once coaches have more time to build these game plans or, you know, get with what their teams want to become, I say as long as they get through this season, unlike the Alliance did, the Alliance of American Football that folded mid-season in their inaugural, in their first year, if they get through this season, have a pretty solid playoff and XFL championship, I think next year the XFL could be even better. So I think it's off to a good start with the amount of support they're getting from ESPN, Fox, CBS. That's also where I think the Alliance failed. You can't be airing games on the NFL Network and CBS Sports Network and trying to get a broad audience.
Yeah.
And they're also filling up stadiums for the most part.
Kinda.
I mean, they're filling the lower bowls of most of these stadiums, which is pretty
good.
They need
to play like the, you know, DC Defenders, they're playing like the 20,000 seat stadium, and they're filling it out pretty well.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're playing, but then you have like the New York Guardians.
Yeah.
They're playing in MetLife. So it's like, that just looks terrible
same thing with kind of the Seattle Dragons. They play in CenturyLink, but they close off the upper deck, so the bottom bowl was almost completely filled, and so it still gives, you know, that kind of, you know,
that's good,
nice environment. I just think more teams need to do that, where they just close off the upper seats and pack everyone as low as they can and just make the tickets a whole lot cheaper.
That's good.
I think that'd be good. That's my Bob Cusher award, though. Matt McGloin talking bad about his coach and promptly getting benched. Man, you gotta love the XFL.
Gotta love it.
That's all for us this week on this quote-unquote bite-sized edition.
I was gonna say, Damon Thacker just requested to follow me.
Damon Thacker, point guard for
Idaho
men's basketball.
You know,
following Chris Dermer.
That's pretty dope.
Shout out that. But yeah, so once again,
shout out Damon Thacker.
Zach Kellogg and Chris Dermer in the studio. Thank you for listening to the Vandal Scoreboard. Once again, our bite-sized edition, which is barely shorter than our normal one because we were like, we don't have a lot to talk about. But then we ended up talking the whole show. You can catch my work at thevandalnation.com, the sports website for the University of Idaho Argonaut. That's thevandalnation.com. Also follow Vandal Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We post live game coverage on Twitter and Facebook, and also tremendous photos from Sadie Brass, our photo editor, on the Instagram. So follow that. We got more great content coming Thursday and Saturday. Although Alex Brizzy is actually shooting the games this week because Sadie Brass is going on a little trip.
Oh, really?
So we're gonna have even more great photos.
Awesome. Also, you know, SWX is streaming the basketball game tonight. You can catch me and Zach on there if you really have to look, though.
We'll be behind the baskets, holding the court.
Exactly.
That's what we're
doing. Opposite baselines. You'll see Zach on one end. I'll be on the other. So, you know.
Maybe if you look the broadcast.
I'm not saying we made it big time, but.
I mean, we're getting paid a little bit, but, you know, we're helping big time. Connections.
Yep.
But, yeah, catch the game tonight, men's basketball versus NAU. also, check out our work on Inside the Vandals on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And also Chris's new segment, Full Court Press, with Idaho men's basketball starting point guard Damon Thacker. Also, follow Chris on Twitter at @Chris_Dermer. Dermer is all capitalized, DEREMER. Follow Zach Kellogg, myself on Twitter at Kellogg, KELLOGG _ Zach, ZACK. Thank you all for joining us. Tune in next week for another episode of the Vandal Scoreboard. And go Vandals.
Roll Vandals.